The International Ministers Conference is God's strategy to set your life and ministry on course. Welcome to the International Ministers
Conference. Thank you, Father. We honor you and we give you all praises and adoration. Only you can do these things. We return all praise, all glory, and all honor to you alone. You are the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. We want to thank you specifically for the lives that have been transformed, for the ministries that have been imparted, for ministers and individuals that have been strengthened. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Now, who is excited to be in church? Is that the best way you can show it? Oh, praise God. So what I'm going to try to do is to capture the entire conference in a very simple teaching. Is that okay now? Now, I began on Friday, and I should have known. I mean, we can't have a meeting like this without giving room for the move of the Spirit. Because beyond the teachings, there is that which is the operation of the Holy Ghost himself. Is that okay now? Yes, we can't capture everything, but he can. He can. Praise God. I said, praise God. Are you with me this morning? So I began a conversation on building ministries that will survive seasons. Let's check Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Please check with me. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 from verse 1. Said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So today I'm going to be very raw. Is that okay? And then one of the things I'm going to do is to show you as we do it. We are not there yet, but we are not where we used to be. Okay? Nothing that looks right is a coincidence. Nothing. Is that okay now? Nothing. There's a time to every purpose under heaven. So because times change, new seasons come. And when seasons change, they come with new dynamics. When you give birth to a child, you have a baby. The child cries, you carry the child. The child wants to eat, the child will cry, you pet the child. They communicate everything by protesting with those cries. But with time, everything will change. They start learning to talk. They start finding better ways to express their feelings. And your way of handling them must change. Soon they resume school. You start adjusting. Change of seasons demands adjustment. Change of seasons demand adjustment. So let me prove it to you. How many of you have seen friends that probably were your friends in primary school days and now are still trying to relate with you the same way? Not giving you the accord or the regard of the fact that you have grown. Yes. And what happens is that it doesn't work. Okay? Because when seasons change, it's a whole new dynamics. It's something new entirely. So you have to learn it. So you want to, and today I'm not just going to talk about ministries. I'm also going to talk about organizations. And because I need to put a structure around consulting for organizations and not just ministries. Now, by the grace of God, I sit on the board of many ministries that many people don't even know. And I give counsels as touching transitions, as touching change of seasons. I help train their ministers. We have top ministries in this country that have told their workforce, their pastoral team, to come for different trainings that we've had in the house. So there is a wisdom for building what you know, that the dynamics will change. Is that okay now? As simple as that. Even your organizations. Now, there is this fact about building businesses, building organizations, which is also true about ministry, because ministry is both an organism and an organization. Ministry is both an organism and an organization. Now, give us the scripture, Ephesians chapter number 4. All right, you, for the sake of time, start from verse 3 and then 4. Ephesians 4, for the sake of time, verse 3 and then 4. Look at it, say, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yes. There is one body. Someone say one body. Say it again, one body. Now, one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Yes, verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And Paul went on to still use that word from verse 14 downward. Said, we also edify the body of Christ. All right? So ministry is an organism. That is, it is living. And then it is also an organization in the sense that you need structural approach. You need managerial approach to ministry. Never let anyone deceive you that you don't need managerial approach to ministry. In fact, if you are a minister, if you are a lead pastor, or you are the head of a ministry, I will advise that you take a management course. Because in ministry, you manage people, you manage resources, you manage giftings, you manage potentials. And you cannot do it with your... I want to use the word inborn knowledge, but I don't think that'll be right. You will have to be trained for it. You will have to learn it. You will have to study for it. How do we manage resources? How do we manage money, for instance? So let me give you an instance. Go and check in your ministry. Anytime the person taking offering emphasizes too much on the offering, your income will be low. Because it doesn't work by that. The wisdom of Solomon is, everything is done at the quarry. You only fix at the temple site. When you are teaching giving, don't ask people to give. Teach it first, so that you'll not be struggling on the altar. Hope I'm not saying too much. But it looks like the dynamics have changed. I only came to church, not ministry school. Relax. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, here is one fact in business or in building organization. Within the space of the first 5 years, every organization hits a roadblock where they don't know what to do to scale. They either maintain that same level. Go and check. Many ministries get to certain attendance. Average attendance of a church is 70. That's the average size. Anybody who is gathering less than that is operating below average. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's the average. And then I believe you were not designed to be average. So you want to scale. But most people don't know how to move from point A to point B. Listen. It takes a body of knowledge to move. Knowledge and prophecy looks alike in terms of the precision of the outcome. Knowledge can make outcomes predictable. Every year, when the season comes for me to plan the coming year, it is always with fasting. Lock myself, and I always say the things we are going to see because of the body of knowledge. Not fasting just to pray, yes, a lot of prayers, but also in the place of study, materials, learning from those who have gone ahead. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So what I'm saying is, from much study, is that okay now? From much digging and searching. Stay with me, please. So ministry is both an organism and an organization. And I said every organization eats their brick wall within the space of the first 5 years. Some of you have businesses you close down, not because it stopped working, but because you didn't know how to move to the next phase. How do we jump over these walls as ministries? How do we get over this season? Yes, we grew to get to this point, but it's like we are dwelling around this mountain for too long. How do we move beyond 10? How do we move beyond 15? How do we move beyond 50? How do we move beyond 60? What do we do? And most times, because we don't have precise knowledge, we try many things. Knowledge is precise. Right knowledge, you get the result. And I said to you, and I've said it again, it's something we are going to have to raise the campaign, because we want churches to grow everywhere, that no church grows through publicity unless the lead pastor is known. Let me tell you, I'm going to be very blunt with you. One time, I was traveling, coming into Ibadan. I can't remember the year. I saw our members were on the street with banner. We were going for publicity. I told the person, I said they will depopulate this church, because now they are announcing to people that this is the kind of church you should not come. Look at us, the way we came out. Look at our preparation. This. Sometimes your obsession for advertisement of this is actually advertisement of your weakness. I know many of you won't believe what I'm saying. I'm going to be very, that's why I said we have to sum up all these things. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you go ill prepared, people now note that, hey, that's not the kind of place I want to be. How many of you joined this church because you received a flyer from us by the roadside? Please, don't be shy. Please, just raise your hand. If you did, raise your hand. You joined this church because you received a flyer. There could be one or two, actually. Please raise your hand. Please. No, don't be shy. Don't be shy. You joined this church because you received a flyer. Raise your hands. Not one person. Okay, you joined because you heard one of my messages, saw one of my videos, heard there's somebody called Apostle Femi Lazarus. Please raise your hands. Stand, please. Okay. You joined because you saw a friend who was so excited about the church and you decided to come along with the friend. Join them. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Please be seated. Are you aware? Listen to what I'm saying. I said when season change, the dynamics change. Flyers worked for an era. Now, should I talk? Are you sure you want to learn? Now, if we can have 200 people that will like the video of the service on YouTube, they have done more strategic work than those who are on the street. A lazy man makes his game. He doesn't know how to roast it. God called laziness inability to bring things to completion. It's mental. The problem is that there is something, all right, there's a body of knowledge among the ants. It's, I think they call it the spiral of death, something like that. Everybody can Google it. Usually ants moves, right, in communities. They move. I can't forget what is it, group of ants or something? So they move in groups, go to prepare their food, they gather and then put it in their own niche and do all those things. But there's something called the spiral of death. And that also is applicable in organizations and ministries where the person who is in the forefront miss the road. What happens is that you begin, once the leaders in their groups miss the road, they now begin to go in a cycle. They will not be able to stop till they walk themselves to death. It happens to ants. They will not be able to stop till they die. So what happens is, this is the way we met it. This is the way we met it. Everybody goes through that round, that spiral of death, and keep going and keep going. And they will not stop till the ministry dies. No ministry will outgrow you. Where your ministry is a reflection of your mindset. Oh, the church is not growing. In simple terms, because the pastor is not. Say, and see, listen. Somebody said, because I have small money, everybody is asking me, what's the secret of your wealth? What's the secret of your wealth? When I was poor, nobody is asking, what's the secret of your poverty? Because poverty does not need investigation. The reason is always obvious. Listen to what I'm saying. You don't have to investigate poverty. Hang around a poor man for 10 minutes. You'll know the reason why he's poor. The mindset, the work ethics. Poor people do everything for money. If they're going to take you serious, how much do you want to give me? And I want to talk to you. Show your woe. That is, will you give me money? We want to do this. Money, 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 and they never have it. Go and check. You will think that pastor who is pastoring small people and the one who is pastoring, like, you will think that the one who is pastoring small people should be working harder. But go and check their work ethics. You will be amazed at the laziness found in small ministries. And I just have to be honest with you. And that's why I said we have to wrap this up. Somebody said we are doing full time. Let me say this to you. It doesn't matter where your ministry is as a pastor. If you can't afford an office anywhere else, have an office in your house. Even if it is one bedroom. Create a space where you wake up every morning to work. You cannot allow yourself to work when you feel like. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have a personal policy. It doesn't matter how anointed you are. Before I can think well of anybody to be a resident pastor in this ministry, you must have succeeded to a level in what you are doing. Because it is the same culture. If you are failing your business, you will fail in ministry. It is the same approach. Go and check. How many of you have observed the top... Let me say top five fathers in this nation who have very strong ministries, also did well in school. Pastor here, Adeboye. In fact, somebody was having an inaugural lecture in UI. That was when he knew that. That was when I discovered that Baba actually became a prof, but it was not allowed. Pastor W.F. Kumi, first class mathematics, did his PhD. Dr. D.K. Olukoya, that one even taught UNILAG record. Was it UNILAG or which school? The same thing. You cannot separate approach to life from success. You cannot. So even if somebody say, I'm a young man, God is calling me, I want to go into ministry. Oh boy, prove it by passing excellently in school. Prove it. That you are not going into a ministry because you are unemployable. Prove it that you are not going into a ministry because you have nothing to offer the society. And that's the reason why many people don't also have anything to offer in ministry. It is the same culture. And we are raising a bunch of mediocres. I told our pastors, you see, I really don't think that in this generation, the idea of full time should be reinvestigated, so that you don't do ministry in a way that your children will hate God because you are broke. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you. When this ministry started, all right, God gave me instruction to stop something I was doing. As at that time, I had not gone for service. So I was teaching in a school. Okay? I had a personal tutorial center where I was taking student mathematics, all right, as they prepare for German WAEC. In fact, long before that time, God has forgiven me. Long before that time, schools will call me and say that during WAEC, you come and help to be solving question. The day police came, on top of how much, we were jumping window. When I finished tutorial, the school where I was teaching, I helped them to start their own tutorial center. My own personal tutorial, I was taking math. Their own tutorial center, I was taking chemistry, I was taking physics, I was taking biology. Do you understand what I'm saying? By evening, I returned to the roadside where they would have set my table, where I was selling noodles. I was broke, but I'm not visionless. And I knew I'm not going to be there forever. It only came to pass. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me keep quiet. But as I'm talking to you now, I'm selling land. No, it's true. I'm selling land. Sit down there. I'm careful of extremes. Anyways, God gives people different consecration. There was a time in my life God didn't allow me. Yes. So let's bring that balance. But if God has said focus on this one thing, it must be clear, even to the devil, that this person is devoted. Even the devil will know that. We want to destroy him, but he's working. Be careful of idleness. Be careful. Pastors, be careful. Read books, sir. Read books. When I meet people who are doing better, one of the most important questions I want to ask is, what kind of books do you read? What kind? What is informing this mindset? What kind of books do you read? Read books. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very important. Now look at it. Colossians chapter number 4 verse 17. Popular scriptures. Colossians 4 verse 17. Colossians 4 17. And say to Archippus, take it to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou wilt fulfill it. Say to your friend, take it to the ministry. Come on, say loud and clear. Take it to the ministry that you have received and see that you fulfill it. Now, leave your wife. Turn to somebody else. Say, take it to the ministry that you have received and fulfill it. Say, take it to the ministry that you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Whose duty is it to fulfill it? Your duty. Look at what Paul said, Ephesians 4:1. Look at what Paul said. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Walk worthy of the vocation. Walk worthy of the calling. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. At least it takes about 5 years to study in school to become a nurse. 6, to become a doctor. 4, to be a microbiologist, an accountant, depending on which school you go. Because you have plus X. And that X can be longer than the original duration. It shouldn't take just one dream to become a pastor. It shouldn't. See, one of the things that we are still enjoying in Nigeria is that because everywhere is messed up, there is no accountability structure And even churches too are benefiting from it. Somebody can, I saw a video, you can call somebody out in the crowd. Camera people are videoing it and say, now you husband. Because there are human rights issues. Now you have videotaped. This thing is moving all over the internet. Our friends will see it. Our children will see it. We are still dumb. There is an awakening. They will start suing you. So you heard that one day Bishop Oyedepo was ministering and then said, there are witches here. Come out. You too. There are some of you here. There are witches. In this era, on Facebook, on YouTube, you put camera, look at their faces. And you think you won't go to jail if one of them knows they are right. You are laying hands on people. You say, leave them, because you want to prove how they will fall. Somebody fall, hit the head on the tile and died. Those anointing without wisdom, it will come down. Even the church in Nigeria is still benefiting from the corruption in Nigeria. If you don't wake up, you'll be part of the old. You have to be careful. When seasons change, the dynamics change. You have to understand, there's a new normal. You can't put new wine in old wineskin. You start adjusting your mind. Pastors, start adjusting your minds. If anybody is not pleased with my message, you can leave this church now. If they leave, what will you do? Go and check. Churches that have more people are more passionate about follow-up than those who don't have people. You don't have people, you still don't care. Out of 6 members, 2 PA. One drives you anywhere you are going. You are not managing ministry. You are managing low self-esteem. So you've been picturing a time that when you enter church and probably look, you know, join a conference like this, looking at the way the ministers are coming out, somebody says, I love it. As those men in suit are coming out, they say, wow, wow, one day it's going to be me. Yeah. What you want to be is a superstar, not a minister. A superstar. I went to Warbeck. I go to Warbeck every year. And my schedule for 2024 is Warbeck. And I saw Pastor Boju after benediction. Just talking. Like what? Ah. In our own church. Pastor Boju. Like this. Because you have to understand the new dynamics of the generation you are dealing with. You have to be current. You have to know what's going on. You can't be distant. Stop using God's people to manage your low self-esteem. Stop. I saw a video. A pastor drove into the altar with power bike. I told the person, I said, it is his childhood dreams. You know, if you are trekking, and you probably get to a part of the road and you see a guy driving correct Mercedes, a young guy like yourself, and just park beside you, come out with that plain white shirt and open the door with his blue jeans and then come out. The AC even blew on you. And with the babe too, fresh. Something tells you that one day I will revenge. as if God is cheating on you with them. God is not cheating anybody on anybody to make anybody nice. Your outcome, all right, is a result of what you're doing. And until we start taking responsibility for it, we'll just play blame games and be small. Is that okay now? And that's the mindset many people have come to ministry with. That's the mindset. One of the things that shows that now you are preparing for growth as a minister is that your ideals are reviewed. Your ideals are revisited. So let's like Pastor Tope said, let's swallow some tables. Do you know? Look up, everybody. One time in my life, I went on 3 days marathon fasting because I was honestly confused. I was confused. I was not ready to go into any ministry until my questions are answered. Because I sat down. I said, look at this church. They said, there's no heaven for you. If you are wearing trousers, wear earring, you must wear your skirt and your hair tie and whatever. The skirt must be, you know, something. I don't want to go there because I don't know them. But yeah. Then I saw these ones. You can wear it, but like this. Then this one, blow your hair. In fact, hold on. Then this one, I'm like, all these men are men of God. What exactly is the criteria for heaven? Until I saw one of those churches in UK, and the choir was on trouser. So the Bible changes when we go to America. If while preaching in America, you have no issue with a member sitting in front of you with dreads, but you have issue with it in Nigeria, it is still colonization that has killed you. I've lost you there now. Your problem is culture, not scriptures. We have made the word of God of no effect because of our traditions that we have added. That is the truth. That is the truth. And I observe too that the pastors you cannot even greet. I went to a church, the way protocols outside were carrying gun. Fact. I won't mention of the church. Gun. As I saw, I don't know. I've never stepped that place again in my life. But when these same people are in UK, they are greeting people. How are you doing? Is it church you are running or business? That you are more friendly with some customers because they have. Is it church or business? Is it church or business? We have to reinvestigate these things. You have to. You have to. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, seeing that he was in all point tempted like we are, yet without sin. He can be touched. He can be touched. When the woman with the issue of blood came to touch Jesus, and Jesus said, who touched me? Peter said, are there not many people here who are thronging on you? He can be touched. Say it as a pastor, I can be touched. No, many times it's good to visit your members so that you can know where they are coming from in case you begin to shout. Just have an idea of what it is. Many times to also see their living conditions in case you feel they are not giving. Then stop trying to raise offering regardless of what people are left with. Even if this is going to be your last, just give it and then even... Amen. Now, look at this. Let's go into some very serious stuff here, because I want to really bring this home. Is that okay? In the simplest way. Is that okay? Is it simple enough for you? Is it simple? Good. Nothing deep. Just follow me. 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 10. Now look at it. So according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and not builded thereon. Now look at this. I was trying to bring something out of this on Friday, but I knew I would not be able to finish. So let me make it the least of my worries this morning by showing you. I have laid the foundation. Someone said, I have laid the foundation, another build thereon. So I have laid the foundation, another build thereon. Now look at this. Let me have two pastors. Please come. Let me have two pastors. Please come. Now please, one person to the right. Thank you. All right. So said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. I have laid the foundation. All right, but another build thereupon. He said, and the foundation I was talking about is Christ. And it's Christ, the ministry is seated on Christ, the revelation of Jesus. And that's what Jesus, what Peter said, all right, in Matthew 16, when he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. All right, and Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. I say to you, you are Peter. All right, and upon this rock I will build my church, the rock of the revelation of Jesus. So every church is established on that revelation. But you see, this was what Jesus did. And look at the ministry of Jesus. If you read the Bible with an open mind, you will discover that the only reason we say the ministry of Jesus is the most successful ever is because of continuation, continuity. At the immediate, it was a failing ministry till his death, till his resurrection. I'm going to show it to you. In John chapter number 6, he was ministering to people. He showed them this, about 512 of them. Until you eat my flesh and drink my blood, this. And the Bible said, they said it's a heart in his head. And all of them that heard him left. How do you have a church of 512 people and all of them left? And he turned to the 12. Will you also go? Among the 12, he had Judas, one who betrayed him. Among the 12, he had Thomas, one who never believed him. Among the 12, he had Peter, one who denied him. And in John 21, 8 of them went back to fishing. 8 of them went back to fishing. 8 of them in John 21. Even after he died and rose from the... Thomas was still thinking, who knows, somebody have come to carry his body. So when he came, Thomas said, I don't believe you. How do you have somebody who has been your disciple, core of the 12, who doesn't believe what you are doing? Core. Core of those 12 doesn't believe what we are doing. Peter, James, and John. James was killed as a young man. He couldn't even write anything. Judas died. He killed himself. Look at their conversation in Acts 1. I want to show you something, please. Look at their conversation in Acts 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 1. Now look at it. Let's start from verse 4. This is a very... I don't want to ever have this kind of conversation as a pastor who I've pastored for years. Like all of you, lie down there. What is your problem? Look at what he said. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. I have laid the foundation, another builds. Wait for the promise of the Father, which said, ye have heard of me. Yes, quickly. Verse 5 now. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Yes. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? What was on their head was politics. All he came to do for 3 years, the redemption of humanity. They were not thinking about it. They were thinking about the agony of the Roman colonization. That will you restore the kingdom back to Israel? Look at verse 7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the season which the Father has put in his power. Yes, verse 8 now. But you shall receive what? Power. Meaning that you will still be thinking like this until power comes. See, these were the people he left behind. After death and resurrection. Do you see the way they were thinking? The people he left behind. Go to John 21. You need to understand these guys. don't understand how Jesus did it. John 24, I'm tired on his behalf. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias on this wise. That is, this was the only reason why he had to come down again. If he looked like everything was perfect, will he be disturbing himself like this? No. All right. After this thing, look at verse 2 now. They were together, Simon Peter. Let's start counting. Simon Peter. And what? Thomas will always be there, of course. Thomas, called the Didymus, Nathanael of Canaan of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other of disciples. Yes, continue. Simon Peter said to them, I go out fishing. And they said to him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into the ship immediately. They were going back to their business. So he has died like all of that. Let's go back to where we used to be. But Jesus understood the formula. One will build, one will lay the foundation, another must build. So he spent time before leaving to communicate to them about the another. In every ministry, there is the one, but you must also identify the another. Many ministries are dying because they don't understand that another. That it doesn't matter how gifted, it doesn't matter how much my message is blessing you now. It is only blessing you because I'm in tune with your generation. As I grow older, I will need another. I will need another. Somebody in the pastoral team who understands the language of the generation better. Somebody in the leadership team who understands the culture of that generation better. Because if I serve them the food of my generation, it will look like God didn't call me. I will need another. Why are so-and-so churches dying? Because they neglected their another. Every generation you want to reach must be represented in your leadership team. Oh, you can preach. You will need another who can sing. You need another who understands protocol. Another who understands hospitality. Another who understands management. Another who understands... It is not a call to do it all. And that's why Peter said, it is not a reason for us to leave the word and serve at tables. We must look out amongst ourselves. 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. See, listen. You must understand that as a leader, you are not the strongest. The moment you are trying to be, you will shut your people down and destroy them. You are not the strongest. That's the truth. You are not the strongest. Every time, in fact, this morning, can I tell you something? When people were dancing in front, I was just dancing and saying, God, show me, Lord, please. I want to identify more people, please. Where are the Gen Z's, Lord? That was actually what I was doing. Never give the impression that in this ministry we don't need you. We need you. Some of you are amazing. We need you. This church has people. One of the influencers that influences the largest meeting in this land is a member of this church. You just see them dancing. You'll be wasting potentials if you are not looking for your another. See, football teams from China, from Germany, we go to Newi, we go to Ede, they will come to look at grassroots footballer where the talent is raw. But ministers are high up there. Not looking for another, you will suffer. People can do more than what you can do. That's the truth. Before I will dress out for any meeting for this conference, I have one of my boys in Abuja who will snap it and send it to him. Do you advise this combination? Because I have an issue with combinations. There's nothing there. I have an issue. I don't know what is wrong with my mind. I try every time, but meanwhile, I paint and I draw, but I don't know why my vision will call us. You see? So, we'll send it to him. Say, this one, show law. If you say, you have to think about it. I don't like that. Don't stress me. So just give me the one that is safe. And this one, you see, if you combine this one, combine this, people say, wow. So when I enter to a check, oh boy, then they'll say, wow. I sure say this. Then you dress well, you know now. Am I not dressing well? Yeah. You have to be on the lookout. That's the way it works. I've said it that anywhere I go to work or plant church, the first thing I'm looking out for is my replacement. That's the first thing. That's the first thing. That's my first assignment. Once I can grow my replacement, it will grow the rest. I don't have to be everywhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Ask your neighbor, where is your another? That principle is very important. It's a very important principle. We have a prayer meeting we have every day. People lead prayer. I thank God for the opportunity to see them do it. Oh, I'm always excited. That so this person is carrying this fire. And you're just sitting there. Eh? We need it. We need what you have. In this church, I think there's almost 100% assurance that if you are smart and you have a good result, you will get a job. There is 100% assurance. In fact, our people have colonized different banks. Daddy Mike was telling me that your people, they're everywhere. If you go to the bank, you see them everywhere. But we didn't start like this. In fact, I used to cry to God that why am I hearing the kind of testimonies I'm hearing? I knew that at a certain point, we cannot continue doing normal church. We need to become a community. I drafted out the plan, drafted out the, what was it called again? Operational manual for the community groups. Prayed to God, who amongst these men can I trust this into his hands? Called for a meeting, sold the idea, because as a leader, you have to know how to sell ideas. You have to know how to write it on the template of people's heart. This is it. Can you see what I'm seeing? This is it. Can you see what I'm seeing? Carry on with this. Can you continue from here? Please go on. Then what we now do from there is to check the balances. Okay, do it like this. Not control. You will not have strong men if you are too controlling. You will not. Allow them function. Allow them do their stuff. The truth of the matter is that when you come to serve like the spirit of joy, you see when people are dancing, it was not like that from the beginning. If everybody wants to dance the way apostle dance, me, I'm still learning. My wife has stopped teaching me. She's tired. But at least, how many of you have seen that there's been improvement? Oh God. Until it grow. No, that's the truth. I saw myself dancing, getting the beat. Say, I will not get there. Bye-bye. From there, we upgrade. Listen to what I'm saying. A church should not be an expression of your strength and weakness. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm still going to get to the aspect of self-sabotaging issues. Because many ministries and ministers are praying for growth, but the activities in the ministry is killing the growth. There's a book I want to recommend that you read, Disruptive Thinking by Bishop T.D. Jakes. So you can know how to manage disruptive thinkers, because every ministry needs them, and they are very controversial people. But many times, the future hangs around that mentality. Many of you have issues with your parents because they don't know you are a disruptive thinker. You are not a destructive person. It's just that what you bring to the table reorganizes the table. And many times we are not used to that. Now look at this. Go back to that 1 Corinthians 3:10 quickly. 1 Corinthians 3:10. Let's see something very important. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another builder thereon. Another. Somebody say another. Say it again, another. Say it again, another. Do you know in a family system, a father is just the foundation? Yes. Steady. Strong. As we are having this conference in Ibadan, we have our people in Abuja busy on their toes. Checking, reorganizing. We are doing this. People in Kano are preparing massively for next week. Everybody doing their own part. Listen to this. The difference between struggling ministries and thriving ministries is that in struggling ministries, there's one Superman. In thriving ministries, there's teamwork. Let me come again. The difference between struggling ministries or struggling organizations is because in struggling ministries, there's one Superman, and in thriving ministries, there's teamwork. Let me explain. The moment you understand this, your experience will change. So somebody says that you want to build ministry around your message, your preaching. You are failed. Let me tell you something. I'm saying this for the first time. For the first time anywhere. If the ministry here is built around my preaching alone, the church will die. When you do that, what you do is that you become blind towards all other aspects. You become blind towards the music. You become blind towards the hospitality. You become blind towards the ambience. And even when things are going bad, people are thinking, don't worry, as soon as I start preaching, everything will adjust. That's pride. It is overrating yourself. Teamwork is the secret of advancement. Teamwork. As we are doing all these things, we had teams who were in different places doing different things. We have the chefs, we have all of them doing different things. You have the account department, you have welfare, you have prayer warriors. I am here preaching because we have several others. Teamwork. The ones balancing the lights, the one doing this, the color of light, this. Everything is deliberate. I'm just showing you. Probably you may not hear a pastor say this. Many of you are trying to build strong organizations, strong ministries, and all that. But you know nothing about branding. What are the colors that are peculiar to your ministry? He says it's not about color. It's about the Holy Ghost. If you are going to move from struggling to having a very powerful house, you must build your core team. And that's where the work is. You see, I don't go everywhere to preach. If you see my flyer anywhere preaching, it means I know the person directly. Or the person knows somebody I honor and I can't say no to. We are always rejecting meetings. If not, this church will not grow. The church will not grow. Oh, Apostle, we are prayed this. At the end of the day, the future belongs to builders. But that's it. Church will not grow. Won't you hear? Okay. I have many people I've trained. I can recommend. Another builder there. We must understand that principle. We must understand that principle. Even the ministry of Jesus was haphazard, except for the sake of the another who came to strengthen them. The another in his class, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost brought order where there was chaos. When you understand this thing, the team will bring order. We have legal team in this church. If you post anything about me, file some things. Why are you doing that? They will not even hear me talk. But they are not that. They are managing those things. Oh, yes. Somebody wrote a post and was saying that all the fathers should start learning from this young minister and was comparing me with a major father in the body of Christ on Twitter. Hey? When I read it, I said, if I copy this now, quote this, retweet, and debunk it, I've made more people see it. If I comment on that, more people will see it. I just posted the picture of me and the father where he was laying hand on me. These fathers are fathers for a reason. Those who don't know don't have questions. Those who know, they know. There's, listen. If you don't grow beyond this personal showmanship, you are not getting anywhere. Can I sing? Sometimes I pity them when they are looking for my key. I came with a bunch of it. Can I lead praise and worship? There was a time they put me in the choir. I told you I joined a team. I was in church on my own, in church, because I used to wear coat. The brother thought he has found a band member. He went to meet me in church because I'm a camp person. He said, God laid it in his heart that I should join their team. So I joined the band. On the day of ministration, an engineer was sharing mic. He mistakenly gave me mic. I look at it. Nobody's connecting. To the right, nobody's connecting. To the back, nobody's connecting. Me, mic. And I entered the spirit. As they start singing, you know, people who don't know how to sing, they are the ones that are now close eye. When they were singing, my eyes were... I just noticed that by the time we finished, people did not clap. When we got to the place where to pray, everybody was looking at me with bad eye. I didn't know what I did. So I was wondering, what happened? After a good mission, like, everybody should be happy. Nobody was. So, and the leader is so polite. Now say, Brother Lazarus, Sherry, mic. At this, the microphone is not for everybody. And you control on the phone, okay. The trauma of that council. I didn't smell music to me. So imagine coming and saying, I'm the one that will lead praise and worship. Say it again, you need another. But he said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. A minister is a builder. Listen to this. A minister is the builder. You must understand. God has given you the privilege to build. You are building. Not just auditoriums. People. Cultures. You are building a culture. You ask yourself, what are the things you want to be known for? Many organizations die because they lack proper culture. They don't have good culture. So I told you while I was preparing for this meeting, God said I should go and study on why Mr. Biggs went down. And I saw a clip where the owner of Tantalizer, one of the competitors of Mr. Biggs, went to their branch. And he observed that they didn't have AC. The meat pie was egg pie. And they saw the loophole. And that was their entry point. They just simply began to treat people better. Any organization can fall if they fail to reinvent. Let me show you. There's a curve. There's a growth curve we need to all understand. When you are starting anything, the first phase is introduction to it. You are introduced. Then you mature. Then you grow. When you grow, you reach the peak. As you reach the peak, the next thing after that is depreciation, is decline. That's the truth. Every season you are has a shelf life. After which depreciation setting. We thank God for what we are seeing. This is, if we don't reinvent, the ministry will begin to go down. You have to reinvent yourself. You have to reinvent the wheel. I told one of the guys with me, I said, when God said enter into the gate with thanksgiving, I said, including the gate of the city you want to take. You cannot take a city if you don't have a meeting of thanksgiving. Let me leave it there. No ministry takes anywhere if there's no at least one meeting that gathered men to honor God. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. Jeremiah 13 verse 19. And the voice of them that make merry, I will glorify them, they will not be small. I will multiply them, they will not be few. Little wonder Jesus blessed God when he needed increase. Bless God. The praise culture of the ministry can change the attendance. See, to every demography you want to see, you must call them. Jesus called Peter, and he called Matthew, he called James, he called all of them. Who are you calling through your activity? The kind of songs you sing, who are you calling? The instrumentation, who are you calling? The way you dress, who are you calling? Your mannerism, who are you calling? You must be specific. You must be specific. What you see cannot be a coincidence. It must be the result of a deliberate input. You are building cultures. Many of you have gone, you know, Nigeria, many organizations are messed up. Poor culture. In banks, people function based on their mood. That's what we want to make sure doesn't happen. In ministry, people can't function based on their moods. There has to be a basic, acceptable culture. There is a way to smile. You see, people. There's a way to act as a protocol. I go to the back many times. My watch, what is happening? How are they feeling? Can they hear the sound? How is this place feeling like? The protocol welcome people. Do you somebody tap somebody? I say, no, you don't tap people when they come to church. You position yourself to direct them. And you smile. You don't tap people. Don't just put your hands on people. It's wrong. Listen to what I'm saying. If you are building, you inspect the project. You inspect the project. Everything should have manual. Don't leave it to people's discretion. People can be funny. Everything should have manual. How to receive people. How to dress. What kind of shoe you wear. Heels are more official for ladies. True? Yes. And laced shoes are more official for guys. If you have a shoe that is halfway like this, you don't wear colored socks. Think about it on behalf of the people. It work. Your tie and your pocket square don't have to be the same. It work. It's deliberate. So many of you think all the ministries are doing well. It's because they are lucky. Luck is a lazy man's language of explaining process away. It's his way of explaining away. It says they are lucky. They are not lucky. They are working. They are working. Go to churches. They are working. Somebody is working for things to work. The body of Christ experienced different seasons, changing seasons. A season of different doctrines, of different issues. You have to prepare and take the formula. In Acts 6, Peter said, it is not the reason for us to leave the world and serve our tables. Let's look amongst us seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, that we can commit these things to their hands. He said, but we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. You cannot delegate those two. Pray and study. Anything else can be delegated. Pray. If today is not the grand finale of IMC, Let's say it's for programs like, I would like to sit down and watch one of the pastors preach. To follow our ministry, you know that's what I do. Let me, if this is what they preach in the church, let's enjoy it. And I tell them, ministry is not the ground for preaching opinions. No. Because you feel it doesn't mean it's true. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly, not hastily dividing, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every ministry that will stand the test of time must be word-based. And I love when Baba said it yesterday. Word-based. Built on the word. Word-based. 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 The word of God is taught with clarity, with precision. You prepare for your messages. You prepare. Don't do it around. Prepare. Prepare. You study. Then you verify. So I saw a video. Somebody was saying, as you see me now, as you see me now, I can decide not to eat for another 5 years and I will not die. Shall not die. You see, I told my intestine, you go and sit down. You see, before I came to this meeting, I was pressed. But I told, no, my stomach, no, relax. It has not handled you well. This is what we are feeding people. And you say there's persecution against the church. It is a just persecution. I said it is just. Unbelievers even know that this is dumb. You are using illustrations you didn't verify. Say John G. Lake injected. Then they use telescope. Oh my God. To check the blood. Because it's so far. They use telescope to check the virus. I won't say finish school. You won't. I have no apologies. And young people are sitting there. Say, somebody will now go and say, I want to touch a virus. I did microbiology for 4 years before I went into public health. And I know what this is. This doesn't make any sense. People have died, sir, because they say they won't use drugs. If people are being treated and we are praying and something still happened, we know we tried. Many people now hate church because of our culture. And when they call these things out, they say it's persecution. God, many of this is God needs the church to adjust. Do you think God is going to pamper the church? How do you say that if this person should win an election? They should no longer call you a prophet. Now talk politics. Myself and my wife, I will not even go into details. We were going to fly back to Abuja, one of those trips. We met one of the fathers at the airport. We sat down with him, registering. He was telling us things. By the time we were done talking, we said, all these young people that are saying, why are fathers quiet? Say, do you see that these men, there is something they know? They are just watching because of the depth of what they know. When you know much, you shh. Sometimes shouting is a sign you don't know as you ought to know. And that's why we heard that the Jew yesterday say that don't let the young generation think they know everything because they don't. That was so much emphasis. I mean, you saw it. Because they what? They don't. It's daring you. You don't know. That we are quiet, that we know what you don't know. And when you know what we know, you'll be scared. That's what he's telling you. I'll just read these things out and I'll close. Both the wise and the foolish can be builders. What they are built will actually be completed, but it is the storm, the rain, and the wind that will test it. So both the wise and the foolish are builders, but it is the storm, the rain, and the wind that will test it. Sorry, the storm, the wind, the rain, and the flood. Wind, adverse. Rain, good things will also test your ministry. When money comes, it will test your ministry. Isaiah 55 verse 10 says, as the rain and the snow will not return back to heaven, but I makes the head bring forth bud and flourish, that may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. says, so shall my word be that proceed from my mouth. It shall not return back to me void. It shall prosper in the purpose for which it sent. Rain bring good stuffs, but good stuffs without proper foundation can destroy. You must understand that. Somebody just look at your ministry now and give you 250 million naira. It can make you call for a meeting that has nothing to do with your calling. And you start depreciating. So you want to build a solid ministry, build on the word and prayer. Build with intentionality. Build with foresight. Build with foresight. You are drafting constitution. Don't draft for today. Draft for tomorrow. Draft for and factor in all manner of people. Factor in the time that a king will arise that does not know Joseph. Factor that in. You can't live forever. If the work will survive, you have to have foresight. Factor it in. You must even factor the requirement for the constitution to be amended. You must factor it in, and it must be a tedious one. Why can't we just do amendment? Because it's tedious. Build with foresight. Build with insight and instructions. Six decisions to make while building. Number one, allow Jesus build through you. He said, I will build my church. Matthew 16, verse 18. I will build my church. Allow him build through you. Number two, build on the word and prayer. Number three, be strategic. Now let me say a few things about being strategic. Do you know that in these days and time, and I thank God that Apostle Aaron said it, I've been looking for a way to convey it, that going on satellite is almost a waste of money because internet has leveled everything. You have to be strategic. I shared with you, I went to a place where I know churches used to thrive. I saw that they had all become shadows of themselves. And I saw that one of the reasons why they lost a generation is because they didn't have social media presence. Many Nigerians now are unchurched. They actually prefer to sit at home and join other churches. Fact. That's the fact. Be strategic, sir. Be strategic. If you are wearing a suit that is not your size, you are not being strategic. Oversized suit does not make you holier. You are a young man. You can dress simple and dress nice. It doesn't take away from your anointing. It's not every time suit. Be strategic. Be flexible. Be dynamic. Know what is going on. Don't be a father at 25. Ancient of young days or something. Very important. Number four, understand the generation you've been sent to. You have to understand the generation. Before you start business anywhere, you do market survey. You do your feasibility studies. You check, you look at the conditions in the environment. Are they favorable? What are the demands? You don't build ministry based on demands. You build based on instruction. That's where we differ. But you must understand the difference. You must. Understand the generation you've been sent to. Number five, polish and sharpen your cutting edge. Understand what your cutting edge is in ministry. What is that thing that gets the job done? Is it your teaching? Are you into music ministry? Is it whatever it is? Sharpen it. Anything that gets the job done must be taken care of again and again. Number six, build strong ministry culture. Build strong ministry culture. What are we going to be known for? Culture is the way of life. What are we going to be known for? When you think about our ministry, what comes to mind? What will be our culture as touching giving, as touching prayer, as touching holiness, as touching worship, as touching whatever, as touching even dressing? If it's going to be a ministry that you want people to dress well, let the pastor start. Start, everybody will catch up because you are the model of what you are building. And that's why I said to you, nothing you are building will outgrow your mindset. The ministry starts with a calling, it ends up looking like your mind. Everything you see in any ministry is the picture of the mind of the leader. If you hang red and black clothes everywhere like you are an herbalist, that is exactly how your mind is. If everywhere they don't pay attention to details, that's exactly how your mind is. Everything good can be improved upon. Everything good can be improved upon. Everything good can be improved upon. I scout for dress code, sir. Please stand up, let them see this design. It's not. Do you understand? And it doesn't take time for us to move on in this ministry. We move on time. My life can be very confusing. I celebrate something tomorrow and say, don't wear it again. We have moved on. And we have moved on. There is no argument. The first person we gave this thing to made a garment of hell. If you wear to the gate of hell, they will bounce you. So I said, this person is praying for blessing as a fashion designer. How can you make it? Some things don't answer to prayer. They answer to adjustment. And that's the problem. In Africa, we replace competence with prayer. God answers prayer. But if getting a job must be a prayer point, you didn't study well. That is the truth. That's why in this church, we don't anoint Bible, for example. What you sow is what you reap. They are far. Who is stopping the class? Who anointed the Bible? And with all the anointing, D, and all that. Stop that. Stop that. No lane of hands can make you know what you didn't read. You can't. Let's stop the nonsense. Praise God. Have you been blessed this morning? Are you sure you've been blessed? I believe we've been able to sum up many things in one.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.